Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to Sports Talk Monday here with the Godfather. You know, got a good show today. Want to make it short and sweet. Didn't want to get into real detail about, you know, the world of sports. We're talking more of the high school level sports. And I got Mark Taylor coming on at 8:30. We got the kid Brian Freeman coming in talking about the Bills and his take on what's going on with the Bills. I'm going to give you my take, of course, but we're going to talk some NBA also. But again, 8:30, Kenmore West. Cornerback, running back, Mark Taylor will be coming into the show. I'm not even going to thank my sponsors right now. I want to get right to the emails from yesterday. And a lot of you had a lot to say about what I had to say about the reffing in Western New York, about how teams are judged, how they're perceived, and, you know, whatever. A lot of people don't like my takes. But I will say this always. I don't take calls because of people like you. Not just in West New York, had fools in Wisconsin, Kentucky, prank call, say rude things, say racist things. I don't take calls for that reason, but I will say this. My takes on high school football in West New York, and I'm sure it's not the only place in the world, a lot of people might think their team is the only team in the whole country. No, it's not like that. When I call out people, I call them out for a reason. I call them out because they're doing wrong, and for some reason, in New York State, since living here in New York State, coming from Philadelphia, I realized one thing. You guys don't fight for nothing up here. You really don't. When something's wrong, you just kind of let it go. When something's being done that's affecting your kids, you kind of let it go. Now, a lot of people think I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. Just that when something's happening and my kid's involved, I'm not going to sit back and let it happen. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to say something about it. And, yes, I had a huge offseason in and out of court with the high school football coach. But that's water under the bridge. It's gone. Forget it. It's in the past. Nothing happened to me. We went our separate ways. But point was made. The point was take care of these kids. Answer the coach's calls when colleges call for them. Act like you care. And I must say this. I will give Coach Harris a lot of credit. Not all the credit, because he's been here 7 years out of 11 years. 7 out of 11 years he's been in this game that's coming up Saturday. He has a good shot to make it through. He had a good shot last year. This, in reality, should be Kenmore West trying to repeat going back to the Ralph. I wonder how many other times in Ken West's history had they been this close. Had James Mallory on. A lot of guys were mad I stayed real local, but I did. Look, guys, I talk everything, soccer. I do everything for you guys. You know, women's football, I do it all. But give me a chance to stay with the local guys where I'm at. Got to respect, you know, the fans here. Got to respect the kids who are playing sports. One more thing about the email. I laid out a lot of you reporters, and I'm going to say it right now. I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to keep saying it, and fans are really understanding what I'm saying about this. Because, look, when you blindfold yourself and come through Buffalo and turn on the local stations, when you read the quotes in the paper, when you look at how the South teams are treated than the North teams, when you look at a lot of things, what do? You think, man, okay, see how it is up here a little bit. Here's how I see it, though. I see it as every time I see one of these cornball reporters, cornballs, absolutely ridiculous, terrible reporting, terrible, terrible. There's too many terrible guys making judgments, writing quotes, doing everything. And this is not a racial statement by me, but the email just got me going because they agreed, and I'll reiterate. Let's get something straight here. I have white staff. I have white guys. 90% of my friends are white guys. 90%. 90. But what I don't tolerate is this. I talk to everyone. I give everyone a fair shake. But Western New York, when it comes time to, I don't know, level the playing field, make it more diverse, you don't do it. This is one of the most segregated places I've been to. And let me ask you a question. A few of the emails I'd like to thank for sending them. Let me ask you a question. How many other black guys are doing sports here? How many other black guys you see tweet stuff here? How many black guys do you see covering anything up here? Think about it. It's not me. It's what was told to me a year ago. I didn't pay much mind until really now. Actually, no, last year, seeing how the football coverage was kind of slanted. Look, I understand that it's not going to be as diverse in certain areas. I don't mind that. I mind when the diverse team starts getting crapped on for the other team. That's what I'm saying. So don't miss, you know, don't miss and screw to what I said. I said Ken West shouldn't have to worry about the referees every game. They should go into the game, knowing they got to play an opponent, do their work, try to win. If they lose, tough. That's part of the game. But they shouldn't have to worry about the team in front of them and the refs. I've been saying that for a while, and that's any team. You go to Jamestown, it's 21-0 before you get off the bus. Period. Everyone says that, and that's kind of true. My other part, I said, look, the referees for playoff games shouldn't be from the area of the teams in the playoffs. Should never ref those games. Shouldn't have any connections to that school. I'm saying immediate family. Look, friends, you can't stop that. But you should do the best you can, Tim Slade in Section 6, to mix it up. To mix it up to where a coach, fans, kids don't got to worry about it, because this game is hard enough for these kids out there, and a lot of people take it for granted. Me, I did it. James did it. A lot, thousands of people did it. It's a hard enough game. So hard you could lose your life. There are 7 deaths so far this year in high school football. 7. 1's too many. We're talking 7. I've been saying all along that I'll see Pop Warner numbers, Little League numbers will start dwindling, and they'll go in favor of soccer, which soccer has a lot of concussions too. But they're not getting killed. Football is a very, very dangerous game. My kids play, I say a little prayer, I say a prayer for both teams. Just come out safe. Look, you're going to get dinged up, just come out safe. So you guys need to think about that instead of being so shocked at what I say, because what I say is only the truth. I can't help that you got a lot of crap in your ears because you allow to listen to crap and act on it. I don't talk that way. Back to these reporters and guys who write these papers, I am sick of it. I think it's a joke. You all sound the same. I call every one of you out. I only like a few guys. I like Stu Boyer. Gallagher's okay. Adam Benigni's okay. Maybe that's it. Dave LaDuca, who's on this show. Really? The other 20, you guys suck. Because you're biased. Because your opinions really don't matter. You throw things on Twitter all the time. That's why I didn't use Twitter. Now I'm really realizing how much I don't like you sports guys out there who think you're really big and you're not. I get bigger guests. I've gotten bigger guests, higher star quality guests than you ever got. And I actually talk to these guys even when they're not coming on my show. I did that. You guys are nowhere near me, but yet I'm the little guy. I'm the little guy with the biggest punch. I got some fans. Sure I do. Not just in Buffalo. I got fans. I made those connections on my own. But yet you guys are allowed to get paid to be idiots. You flew to England to watch a Bills game. Big freaking deal. You don't got to tweet me when you're in a bar. You act like you never got out of Buffalo before. That's what I'm saying. Overanalyzing, overdoing everything. You went to England. God bless you. You're not the first NFL team to go to England. You didn't go to Mars. I said this yesterday. You didn't go to Mars. You went to a freaking football game. And what bugged me the most, I didn't see guys like the kid who's with me. Oh, by the way, interns came to me. I helped a few interns who are now doing good things. So, you know, you guys know that about me neither. Why can't the kid go? Why couldn't I call someone and say, hey, look, this Trenton White Sports, TW Media, and Scout Services, can my guy go? Probably wouldn't have been able to go because he's not in that circle. I don't love to send him. This kid's going to be good. I'm going to groom him, and he's going to be good. And I told him flat out, when I brought him on board, I said, you can't be like any of these idiots. Why am I picking on these guys? Because they suck, and they don't like me because I'm a threat. And that's fine. And I'm not ranting right now. I'm just responding to an email I got. Trent, you're good. Why aren't you on a big station? Why aren't you ask? Don't ask me. Ask them. But I wouldn't want to, because the way I'm talking now is a no-no. You can't do that to people. You can't be honest. All this politically correct crap doesn't fly with me at all. I am the only real one that do the real player interviews for these high school kids, the real ones, not these popcorn questions you ask these guys. We already know. You got to get into their life, get into what they're doing with the helmet off. You don't do that. You're so scripted. You're corny. You really are. All you guys. Heaven's sakes, you got one black guy that crosses borders, that has friends on the black side, friends on the white side, outside the state, in the state, coaches that you don't have, but yet I cannot break that shell, only with a few guys. I can't get in there. Why is that? I got a good staff. I put my staff up against anybody. But yet, I sit here, my job is to take care of these kids. Make sure it's an even playing field. Make sure the kids are looked after. None of you guys do that. None of you. You're just concerned about your buddy's team, highlighting your buddy's kids. I don't do that. I have all the kids come on this show, and they're all treated the same. And if I can help them get to college, I do that too. The bottom line is, Buffalo, be more diverse. Just be more diverse. You went to England. If you're from England, you would think no one else lives in Buffalo but a bunch of old white guys. Yeah, let's be honest. Represent the city better than that. And listen. We don't even live in Buffalo. I don't live in Buffalo. I live outside of Buffalo. I don't front like I live there like you guys do. You represent Buffalo, you want to hang with the Bills, but you'll spit on the people in the city. You're fake sportscasters, guys. You're old. You're run out. And I'm not saying old in age. You're old as far as your material. It's played out. In any other market, you wouldn't survive with the crap you do every week. But yet, GR survives. Numbers are lower. But yet, all these guys survive, except for Stu. Except the guys I mentioned, I have no respect for any of you. And you look the other way when you see me. You dare not say a word to me because I'll call you out on my show. I'll call you out to your face and tell you you should just quit what you're doing because you're not in it for the kids at all. You guys are quick to pick on other guys. You won't come to me because I tell the truth. Some of you are exposed. 15 minutes of this rant. Now, it wasn't really a rant, just putting you in your place. Just respond to the email. Just letting the people know where I stand when it comes to these kids. No one represents the kids like I do, especially Kenmore West kids. For some reason, I've adopted these kids because I see how they get crapped on every year, football, basketball, sometimes even girl sports, and I'm sick of it. Yet Kenmore West, when it comes to basketball, is one of the most diverse teams in Section 6. Now, is that why they get crapped on? They're a diverse team. You have whites, you have blacks, you have some Hispanic. You have some Orientals. But the majority of white teams in the South seem to get the edge. And I like those kids out there. It's not about the kids. It's about the guys up top, the refs, Section 6, the reporters. Quit it. Just be grown-ups. It's not us on the field, it's these kids. Be grown-ups. Call it the way you see it. Shut your mouth. Keep your old material and your old comments elsewhere. And that's it. We got the kid coming on. I think the kid will be on in like a few minutes. I got to talk to the kid about the Bills. Because, look, the Buffalo Bills, I don't know what to say. I've been here long enough to see the suffering, to see the hype, to see everything that people just, I don't know. I feel bad for the Buffalo Bills fans because they just appreciate this team so much. They want this team to win, but yet they lose. They go to England, ding, they nailed it. They lose. E.J. Manuel, gotta say, man, you couldn't hit a guy twice, tight end. I mean, look, you're kind of digging your own grave in Buffalo. The kid likes him. The kid likes him a lot. But my goodness, E.J., I'm not going to put it on E.J., but yeah, you kind of have to. The team didn't look good overall. The Jags, that shouldn't happen. But then again, guys, Bills fans, when you really think about it, did the Bills look that good to where you could think they could fly across the pond, go in England, and just beat the Jags like it was a gimme game? Not at all, man. Not at all. Couldn't have been a gimme game. Couldn't have been. Because the Bills haven't looked that good to really say that they can go beat anybody. Anybody. Me and the kid talked about this. G-Money hit on it. Well, G-Money, look, I will give G-Money credit. He's a loyal Bills fan. He will go to the middle, and then he'll just say screw it when he knows it's done. It's not over yet, though, guys. It's a long season. But let's be honest here. It looks like the same old Bills, and I've been saying this since last year? Listen, guys, you turned over the team, you turned over the staff, but you left one part of the cancer. When you have cancer, you try to take it all out. You try to leave no cancer cell behind because you want to cure something. That cancer cell is named Russ Brandon, and he's been here too long, and I'm assuming that he may be the curse. How does this guy, for what, 15 years no playoffs, finds a way to keep his job? You go to your job, you fall asleep every day, get crap done, you're going to get fired within 2 days. Not Russ Brandon. He lasted 3 years, and then he gets a bonus. Now he helps run the Sabres. And he's won nothing. He's been part of this losing for Buffalo for a long time. And why no fans call him out? It's beyond me. The last fan that called in and tried to say he's a good promoter, I ripped him up. What about Wiley? He's got to take some of this heat. I'm going to let the kid come in here because the kid is really into the Bills. And this is the young guy, the future of sports, that I said I'm going to bring along and replace him with a bunch of these old crappy guys, not old in age, old material, who've been wearing out their welcome long enough. But, kid, thanks for coming on, number one. Number two, I kind of thought the Bills would pull this out, but then a little bit of me told me, look, who are the Bills? They're not good enough to say they could beat anybody. Disappointment from the game, kid, or just shaking your head, figuring out what's going on with this team?
I just want to start off by saying thank you for having me on again, but I think it's more of Jacksonville and what they are, and it's not so much of what their record is, but it is disappointing to be a Bills fan, and it really isn't much to be optimistic for because you were so optimistic at the starting of the season, but we talked about this right at the start, and you just brought up Russ Brandon. That's what we brought up earlier this season, and it's the same old thing. And until he's gone, I feel like it's just going to be this way.
But, kid, how come you don't hear more fans saying that? I'm just amazed that the fans want to point to the players. Okay, yes, we can point to the players, but no one's pointing at Russ Brandon, and I find that amazing. Why is he so entrenched in the minds of Buffalo to where they're so loyal to him when he's been a part of all these miserable years?
Because I think that he's hiding behind the shield of the business aspect of the NFL and the Buffalo Bills, because not many people put the blame on the presidents and the CEOs like they do with him. But frankly, I don't think that Bills fans that don't blame him or don't really want to blame him don't really know much about what's going on with football or the Bills for that matter. And they're just ignorant to the fact that Russ Brandon, like you said, has been here for the past 15 some odd years and up near that number, and the losing streak just continues, and it doesn't look like it's going to get better this year. Now, like you said before, there's still a long season, but 3-4 is not what you wanted to be going into the bye week, especially coming off a painful loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who frankly have been the laughingstock of this league for the past decade.
Yeah. As a Bills fan, though, kid, you know, when you've seen that game, I actually thought the Bills, even with all the trouble, can get by Jacksonville. But listen, Jacksonville has been rebuilding. I told somebody yesterday, they got a lot of first-round picks, and some of these guys are panning out. The running back's panning out. The quarterback's panning out. They're actually, to me, ahead of Buffalo, and here's why. They're ahead of Buffalo, even if they lose more games than Buffalo this year, they're ahead of Buffalo because they have legitimate pieces that they're building with. Buffalo does, in a way, but not like them, it seems like. They have them all in the right spots, and you've seen flashes. They can put up points. That running back looks good. And, you know, I think they're going to be okay, but the Bills, my goodness. You had Detroit now. Detroit's been staying around average, a team that you want to watch, a team that could be a contender. When they were a laughingstock back in the day, Jacksonville may be heading there. Buffalo just been spinning their wheels in the mud, making no real progress. The only progress they made to me is selling hype, and getting fans like you and G-Money and all the loyal fans to get hyped up, spend their money, and be so optimistic, only to let them down in week seven.
Yeah, it's hard being a Bills fan because you see teams like Atlanta, who was just 4-12 last year, and now they were 6-10, and they already matched their total wins for this year, or wherever it was last year. And you just see these teams go up and down and sometimes make the playoffs. Hell, David Garrard took the Jaguars to the playoffs not too long ago. I mean, it was like 10 years ago, but other than that, it's hard to just be a Bills fan. And I feel like the Bills are in a better position than the Jacksonville Jaguars. I still think that the Jacksonville Jaguars need a lot more rebuilding to do. I feel like this loss was based on our lack of players out on the field that we started with. There are too many injuries on this Bills team, but I'm not one to put blame on injuries anymore because you're in the NFL. You're a dime a dozen. Like, there's no other way to put it. You're in the NFL. You should be good at your job. It doesn't matter if you're backup. Doesn't matter if you're third string. You should be good at what you do. You saw Marquise Easley step in there, catch a beautiful pass from E.J. Manuel, but to the point where what is going on all the other plays? Where are you? Where's E.J. throwing that ball in the first quarter, in the second quarter? But to that point, I feel like Jacksonville has a better leadership, like, environment around them, but the Bills just lack that leader, and I feel like it all started with that Fred Jackson cut in the summer, and I just feel like there's just been a dark cloud since that, even with all the optimism that was coming through the season.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point about Freddie Jackson. He was like the vocal leader of that team, and people fed off him. They don't have that now, but you're right, though, man. Look, this is the Buffalo Bills. Kid, I had this conversation for years, and I'm at the point to where next season, whatever happens, just don't even talk about it, Bills. Just go out there and play and stop trying to be something you're not. Right now, I don't know if you can say they're a good football team. I mean, they're not a bad team, but really how good are they and how bad are they? They're somewhere in the middle. EJ's taking a lot of heat. Twitter. You have Twitter, you have Facebook. I hear people talking. They're blaming him for missing throws. And, you know, he's in a situation where I think he can't mess up. He has to play the perfect game. I think Tyrod's going to start probably next week or after the bye, I think he starts. I think EJ is in a situation to where he can't win here. He has to go, kid. I think he can't win here. He'll never win here. I think he's just playing himself out of Buffalo. Is it fair? No, but I don't see him getting another shot unless Tyrod goes down again. But I think he's playing himself out of Buffalo. And we said this a few weeks ago to where if you're EJ's agent, you probably want to go anyway because he's taking some heat, some justified, but most of it not justified at all as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, this is exactly what we brought up that week that Ben Roethlisberger went down. We just said, would you want to trade him? And I said that EJ Manuel's numbers were the days were numbered here because, quite frankly, I just feel like he'll never win over this fan base no matter how well he plays. Like you just said, he had to play the perfect game. And he didn't. He made some inconsistent throws, but that's what you get from a backup quarterback. I'm not going to be like, oh, just ship him out because he had one bad game. He's a backup. Now, even though I just said, like, a backup should play, you can't expect him to come in and be completely perfect like these fans are with a squad that is around him that isn't used to performing at this level. Granted, it was against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and you should be able to do your job, but this team has just lacked continuity on offense, and everyone knows it, and I just feel like EJ was put on the spot last time. And you see people make those throws that he made, the pick six. Now, I think that wasn't as much as his fault. He should have looked for the safety or the linebacker, Telvin Smith, but that fumble was more on him. But like we said, he'll never win back the fan base in Buffalo. He just – every little thing he does wrong, they're going to jump on him. And I saw some really negative things about him that I would never say about anybody, but that's the Bills fans, and that's what they want from their players.
Well, we said it, and we called it. We pretty much said, you know, you said they shouldn't ship him out, but we both were saying he's on a very thin rope. And the situation is now, you know, as an agent, you got to look out for your guy. You're right. He's never going to win over the fan base here. And Buffalo fans, I think, shoot themselves in the foot. They want to blame the players, but you're quick to throw a guy out of here. And guess what? The Bills front office don't think they don't listen to the fans. When they see the things turning on players, they get rid of them. I think it's a big mistake to get rid of EJ, but I think it's such a situation here in Buffalo to where he doesn't fit anymore. They're all by Tyrod, and I'm telling you right now, you better hope Tyrod is your guy, Bills fans, because if he's not, and to me, he's only had a few good games, and for you to think he's your guy right now is crazy. So, if EJ gets out of here, Tyrod doesn't pan out, you're going to turn your anger to Tyrod, and then you're in the same situation you've always been in. Really no quarterback since Jim Kelly. And, kid, that's where they're heading, aren't they?
Yeah, that's exactly where they're heading. And I feel like all these Bills fans are so hyped on Tyrod. And he still has – you said he had a couple good games. He still has not had that game where I'm just convinced that that's the guy that I want playing as a quarterback that can win playoff games, that can pull it out. He had the one good comeback against Tennessee, but he was atrocious that game. He had trouble looking off safeties. He had trouble getting rid of the ball. It was just awful. And people just blame everybody else but Tyrod right now. But once we start losing football games with Tyrod in there, they're just going to start pointing the finger at him, and we're just going to be in the same boat, and people are just going to call for it until we find that gem in the draft or in free agency with a quarterback coming into our lap. But I don't see that happening anytime soon, and we just keep falling in the middle of the pack of the draft, and we don't get a chance to grab that quarterback. But
yeah, you know,
then again, maybe
our
scouts have to be better.
Yeah, I think you're right, because, look, as a team, let's cut the crap here. Look, you know some teams tank. Look, it happens. It's a business.
In all sports.
You can't tell me the Bills weren't smart enough. And here's why I question the front office and the coaching staff. If you know you're having trouble, why do you always finish in the middle of the pack? It doesn't make much sense. If I'm the owner, I'll be honest. I don't know who said this or not, but I said, look, guys, you know, coach, do me a favor. Play so-and-so, you know, injury, do anything. Just, you know, look competitive, but don't try to win the game. And people say, oh, that's immoral. No, it's not immoral. People do it. People tank. The Sabres tank. You know what I'm saying? Teams will tank. And you can't prove it, but teams will tank. Falling in the middle of the draft does you really no good. The Bills need a quarterback. There's not going to be a good quarterback, honestly, who you want that can come in and possibly play right away. How many teams can you see right now, kid, that actually got a quarterback in the draft years ago, they're panning out now, and the teams are better than Buffalo? Look at Cincinnati. See what I'm saying? Dalton. I thought it was atrocious the first few years. Look at him now. You had to give quarterbacks time. EJ hasn't had the time that Dalton had. And if you can remember, Dalton was not good.
Yeah, he just had one of the best receivers that came out of the draft in maybe the past 10 years, and that helped a lot. So it helped him mature as a quarterback and a leader, and you see where that went. And this incontinuity that the Bills have been having with quarterbacks, with the skill players, it's just not healthy for the team, and that's why I feel like we've lost a step. And then we've lost a step in leadership roles with Fred Jackson leaving and just not having that real leader. I feel like Rex is the only person that's the leader of the team. I mean, I look at offense. I can't see someone who's going to be vocal in that offense. Not Eric Wood, not Richie Incognito. That defense, maybe Mario Williams and obviously Kyle Williams. But other than that, I don't see many people that are going to, you know, give it to the guys when they need it and when they're down and facing adversity. But it's exactly it. We gotta find someone who's going to be like that, and we got to give him time. But Bills fans are just so sick and tired of being in the middle of the pack or missing the playoffs and just want that good season. We had the chance, but we got Marcell Dareus. Not a bad pickup, but no quarterback that we've had.
Yeah. You know, I'm at the point now to where I tell Bills fans, forget about corners, forget about linemen. You need a quarterback. Build around a quarterback. Peyton Manning, when he first came in, was awful. The team was awful. I look at Dalton, though, and I see that's how you got to do it. He's going to stink his first few years. You get a receiver, and it helps him. That's why he's good now. When has EJ really had that shot? Think about it. When did he really get that shot? And you know what? I'm blaming the organization because other organizations are doing it too. You know what I'm saying? They're doing it, and yet they're good now. And the Bills are still in that same rut to where we're sitting there talking again about what they're going to do. And I think Bills fans are sick of it. But I tell you what, you need a quarterback. I'll say this again and again. Forget every other position. Get a quarterback, and you build around them. I mean, kid, what else can you do now? You've tried every other way for 15 years. Screw it. Get a quarterback. That's all you need to do is get a quarterback. Give him time this time. Obviously, EJ is not your guy. I think he goes somewhere else under a good coach, under a good system that fits him. Telling you right now, I think he'll be an okay quarterback in the NFL, but not here in Buffalo. Can you see him going somewhere else and producing?
Yeah, especially as a backup or maybe even a starter. Like, you see Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's, I think, 4-2 with the Jets right now and losing to New England this past week pretty close. But people were calling for his head in Buffalo and saying that he was the reason that we were losing, but clearly it was not. So these Buffalo fans just need to understand that it takes time for a quarterback, and hopefully that Tyrod Taylor does not receive this fire that those fans have given every other quarterback that has come in here and played up and down. So hopefully that Tyrod can win over the fans more than he already has, because these fans here aren't loyal to their quarterbacks. They're loyal to the team, but they aren't really loyal to the quarterback. But that's what they tried doing with EJ. They tried drafting one so everyone could rally behind them, but didn't really work out because EJ got hurt his first year, and the rest is history.
Well, guys, you know, for guys looking for Mark Taylor, Ken West, we have Mark Taylor coming on in 2 minutes, but we're with the kid right now talking some Buffalo Bills. Kid, I will say this, got an email from Tom, loyal Bills fan, lives in Florida now. He says, he's saying get rid of EJ. And I find that amazing. I find it amazing. He had one game, he's a backup, he had one game, he messed up, missed some passes. Now people are saying get rid of him. He's got to go. I am so convinced, and I'm not blaming him. I'm saying for the best thing for his career, get the heck out of Buffalo. He's going to have to. And I guarantee you right now, there'll be teams wanting his services. If you think no one's going to want him, you're out of your mind. There's going to be a team that wants him. But my goodness, I mean, get rid of EJ? What has Tyrod done this day? You see what I'm saying? It's just weird. I don't get Buffalo fans. We have some level-headed guys like you who can kind of see the fans. But this is crazy. Get rid of EJ. For what?
Yeah, I would only get rid of EJ because it would help him. It's not healthy for him here. There are too many negative comments about him here, and I said it before, I feel like he'll never win back this fan base, so I feel like he needs to go somewhere else. Now, to that, you said he emailed you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so Tom from Florida. If we get rid of EJ now, who's going to be our backup? I don't really see a Josh Johnson who just came into our team.
That's what I'm saying, man.
EJ Manuel had, we'll say, one really bad game, but he did come back from it, and he did play pretty darn well in the second half. Like, I don't get it with Bills quarterbacks. I don't get it with him and Tyrod. They play so poorly in the first half because they play not to lose, and then when they turn the Jets on and just not worry about making that big mistake, they end up playing well, and vice versa. If they don't worry about the big mistake and just try to make the right reads, they end up playing awful, and you saw it yesterday, and I just don't see what you're going to do, what Bills fans want if you're going to get rid of EJ. Who are you going to get? Tyrod is not going to stay healthy, and you need some answer.
Yeah, it's a joke, and here's why it's a joke. Before I let you go, kid, here's why it's a joke. On Twitter, I'm connected to some of these reporters who don't know what they're doing. They're showing EJ's missed passes. That's it. Nothing else. And I'm thinking, gee, I mean, yeah, he missed some throws. Tom Brady misses a throw once in a while. It happens. But they're just magnifying it. And that's why I said to myself, oh, he's got to get out of here. When you got guys doing that.
Exactly.
I mean, when you got guys doing that, picking out your mistakes, you got to go. I wish him the best. And if I'm his agent, I'm on the phone right now saying, look, Bills, you're not going to get my guy a shot. We know Tyrod's going to come back in. We don't want to be here. Let him go. Do the best thing for him and the best thing for the team and let him go. And the fans who want him out of here, you're going to suffer. I'm telling you right now, because Tyrod played a few games. It's almost like, what, Jeremy Lin, right? Think about it. Jeremy Lin played, well, it's a little bit worse than that.
Like
Jeremy Lin was okay.
Yeah,
he was okay. This is crazy. A guy comes in, has a few good games, but looks bad, and one comes back and wins. Buffalo Bills fans, oh, that's our quarterback, EJ, you got to go. Kid, that's insane, man. I mean, last thoughts on this, kid, before I let you go, but how crazy is that, and why are the fans so nuts? I don't get these guys.
because they really want to be loyal to their team, but they don't watch football like me and you do. They don't watch football for understanding the game and how it's played. I'm not saying that EJ is our answer at quarterback or that he's going to be our starter and that he should be our starter, but EJ is a good backup, and you saw it in the second half yesterday. You saw that touch pass to Robert Woods. You saw the bomb to Marcus Easley. He was moving the ball. He had good timely throws to Robert Woods and Chris Hogan on in routes, on out routes, on curl routes. He was, when they started going to no huddle, he started producing, and it just baffles me that it seems like it's like day and night between him in the first half and the second half, and I just don't understand what is the issue between the two. Like, what is his – maybe his mindset's different, but, I mean, I really want to know what it is that's making him play like that in the first half, and he does stare down receivers, but
– here's what it is, kid, because I think he is a starter. Kid, I think he is a starter in the NFL. I think he's been hurt, and then he has this Tyrod crap to go through. I think he is a starter, and you kind of seen it in the second half. I think he is a starter. He hasn't had the reps yet. Dalton looked terrible. I keep throwing Dalton out there because Dalton was the worst quarterback for the first 2 years. He was god-awful. He was. He was terrible.
Yeah, what are people going to –
Yeah.
But what are people going to start saying about Jameis after 14 games if he keeps playing? Like, he just blew a lead to Washington this past week, but –
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you saw it in his first game, too. He had awful passes, but people are still, nope, he's the number one pick. Mariota's had some bad games. He's injured now. Now he's going to come back, and he's not going to produce like he did in the first week. What are people going to say? Are Tennessee fans going to call for his head and just say, oh, we want a new quarterback, or, oh, we need to go find someone to replace him or just start our backup? I don't even know who their backup is now. They had Jake Locker, but he retired, so.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't make sense to me. The Bills fans are just so up and down on their quarterbacks, and I would never wish this to happen to Tyrod Taylor if it does, because he still has not had that eye-popping game to me.
No, it's going to happen. Trust me. It's going to happen to him, too. And look, other organizations know quarterbacks take time. It's one of the hardest positions to play. It takes time. But Buffalo fans want it instant, you know? But, kid, thanks for coming on, man. Wish we had more time, but we got to get a high school player in here. When are we going to start talking NBA? Because as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to be checking out the NFL, my Eagles, but it's NFL time. I mean, it's NBA time, and this is where we start rolling. So we got to make a day where we can get you on, start getting you doing your shows for the NBA, but I'm all about the NBA now. I'm kind of happy.
Yeah, it's going to be real exciting this Tuesday. We have three pretty good games on. We have the Pistons and the Hawks, and then we have the defending champs with the Warriors and the Pelicans, and then obviously the Cavaliers and the
defending Rockets.
I gotta check really quick. I think it's the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah. Okay.
All right,
kid. Well, look, thanks for coming on. Good insight, man. We got to get back on this quarterback thing because it's going to blow up. If I'm you, I throw some posts on there. I guarantee you're going to get a response about the quarterback. And do what you do best, kid. Throw something up there and say, Bills fans, what's your problem about getting rid of EJ? You're going to get some debate there, but we're going to get this wrong because it is ridiculous and it's something that, you know, we just got to put in place. It's not going to happen, but, you know, something to put out there. But, kid, we will talk to you again soon. We'll talk some NBA next time, but good stuff. Good for coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You know, that's the kid. You know, Brandon comes on here and talks football, kind of a level-headed guy. That's why I brought him on. NBA guy, that's why I brought him on. But I'm going to say this before I bring Mark Taylor on. I'm going to calm myself down because a lot of you guys, like, really getting me upset with your ridiculous emails, and I think you know how to push my buttons, and you push them all the time, and I feed into this, but I'm not going to because I got a high school player coming on next who I respect, who I watch grow up, who I watch play football, who I watch improve, who I watch help the community. The kid believes in his faith, comes from a good family, and I'm not going to let any of you idiots who want to email me from wherever you're emailing me from about the Bills, about my comments from later, about my comments from the last show. Obviously, you like listening to me. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate your emails. I'll deal with you guys later on this week. You guys like debating. That's why I don't take phone calls. You know, you guys are, I will say this, before I bring Mark on, I'm going to say this one last time. You guys are very persistent. I don't even open up the chat for you guys. Why? Because you'll keep bugging me. We don't take calls. G-Money might take calls. I refuse to take calls from an area code I don't know just because of the things you guys have done before. So what do? You start sending me emails. I shouldn't have gave that out. Starting next show, I'm going to take more calls. And I'm going to open the chat, and I'm going to tell you to call in. And when you do, the minute you say something dumb, it's locked up again. Period. So you guys can take that any way you want. You like my first part of the show? Yes, I hammered the referees of Western New York. I hammered Section 6 Commissioner. I hammered everybody. I hammered all these ridiculous need-to-go so-called sports guys in Buffalo, oversaturation of sports guys who know nothing. I talked about that. I called out people because that's what I do. I call you out because I'm right, and I know if you come on, good is going to beat lies every time. You can't lie. I got you pegged. So you'll just, every time you see me, you'll go the other way. You'll put your head down like you don't see me. Or you'll try to cop a please shake my hand. But I don't go for that. Mess with any of the kids. Mess with any high school kid, I'm on you. Especially a Ken West kid. Kids from Ken West who get crapped on all the time. I hate it. And if it happens continuously again, I'm going to start talking some personal stuff about certain guys that I know. That's my threat, and my threats mean something. So let's just call it even. You call it even, I don't care. Just make it fair, win or lose, any team. Just don't like cheating. But we're going to bring on right now, guy, like I said, who I watch grow up, who I watch improve in football, comes from a good family, just grew up and improved tremendously from last year to this year. The one guy that many people had questions about, cornerback, who's going to fill in for Trent White at corner. Mark Taylor did that. He started last year. Now he's covering the team's number one receiver. He's also returning kicks. He's also taking handoffs, taking to the house. He's also lining up as receiver. He does so much, I can't even say it fast enough. He ripped off 176 yards against Hutch Tech in the opening round of the playoffs this year for Ken West in New York. And look, he's a secret weapon. You can't no longer say D'Angelo Walker, Terrell Ford, without saying Mark Taylor. He has propelled himself right on level with those guys as far as a threat, which makes it a whole lot easier. A lot of people didn't see this coming. I kind of did. And I'll tell you why I seen it coming. Most guys, off season, football's over, they hang out, they're hanging with the boys. Mark didn't do that. Mark studied film. Mark hit the weight room. Mark improved his speed. Mark got stronger. I'm not just blowing smoke, guys. It's true. Mark kind of didn't get the recognition he should have got last year. He didn't say nothing. He worked hard. He went to the gym. He studied film. He watched his own film and tried to see what he can improve on for this year. And only a blind idiot cannot see how much of a threat he is now. Kick returns. I think he has two this year. Interceptions. Handoffs. He does it all. Receiving. He's an all-purpose player now. Out of nowhere. A lot of us think he could have been that guy last year. He could have contributed more last year. But now Ken West is forced to move the ball around to more people. And I said the best thing for Ken West, I hate to say it, the best thing for Ken Moore West was Trenton White graduating. Because it was Trent and Terrell's show. Mark was the odd man out in there. And I said the best thing, I said it last week, the best thing was that to happen because now they're forced to throw it around to more guys. And people know who Terrell Ford is. It's tough to run. But now you got Mark Taylor, who's a legitimate threat, who Lancaster better be worried about. I'm going to bring on right now Mark Taylor from Ken Moore West High School in New York. Mr. Mark Taylor, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Appreciate you having me on.
No problem. Look, we look at your career. You started as a running back, started transferring from a running back to a cornerback and to a receiver, And from JV to now, the improvement's been immense. The improvement from last year has been immense. I personally think you could have done some of the things you're doing this year or last year, but you didn't complain. Off season, you worked out, studied film, come back, and now you're turning on, I mean, almost 20 yards receiving, enough said, open the round of the playoffs. After last year that loss to Orchard Park, devastating loss to a lot of the teams. You guys play for yourselves. You play for the seniors, want to send them out. You guys want to go to the Ralph. And the way you lost was a situation to where you guys thought you shouldn't have lost, but you did. You didn't look at it as a negative. I think you took it as a positive, and that's why we see what you're doing this year. And I think that's why. Because I personally think if we win that game, if Ken West wins that game, maybe guys don't come back as strong as they are. Maybe guys don't have that fire, but this team doesn't want to lose. And you are the one player that I could tell who's hungry, and when you put that helmet on, you're ready to go. You could tell. Tell me how you prepared in the off season to kind of turn in a season like this in 2015.
I mean, as soon as we lost that game, I was devastated just because of how close we were and how I knew that we had such a good chance at it, and we played as well as we possibly could have. I mean, we had turnovers, we had missed tackles, missed blocks, but we played an overall pretty good game against a team that really embarrassed us when in the week two, and we had a lot of people out that game too. But definitely that game hurt us, and over the off season, I really remember just going and just watching film countlessly, watching that OP game and watching the Lancaster game, just watching the playoff game, and just knowing that we had such a good chance, and me being a senior now, knowing that a lot of senior leaders like Trent White were leaving, I knew that people were going to have to step it up. And so I know that Terrell was going to do his thing, D'Angelo was going to do his thing, but, I mean, when we only have one threat, everybody's just going to pile it on Terrell or D'Angelo. So I knew that I have to now be able to not just lock people up on defense, but be able to go and be able to receive the ball and get yards and make people have to pull people off Terrell and off of D'Angelo and focus on me. So then that just makes it like you can't stop all of our athletes on Kimmel West. We have Jameer Lynch, we have me, we have Terrell Ford, D'Angelo Walker-Johnson. We just have so many threats that it's hard to contain all of us at once, especially now that everything is starting to click. But definitely in the off season, there was a lot of film work in the wintertime right after football season. I mean, after basketball season, there was a lot of got a membership to the gym. I was working out. I was getting bigger because I knew that was another problem with me blocking and pressing and press coverage last year. I wasn't strong enough, so I definitely had to work on that. And then as soon as spring hit, I was running track. I was doing speed training over the summer. And me, D'Angelo, Walker, and a lot of the other athletes on our team, we all would go and meet up at the field and go throw run routes, get our route combinations together. And because we knew that we had OP that first game, so we wanted to make sure everything was crisp.
Yeah, you know, and speaking of OP, that first game, you guys lost 28-0. It was a loss, but I took some good things out of it. I watched the film, and I said to myself, this looks like last year, except we didn't score. Ultra Park's a good team, but they didn't blow you off the field. 28-0, that's a real deceiving score. First game of the season, first game of that defensive backfield actually playing together for the first time, just a team playing together. But let's talk about your defense. I think what people don't talk about, they talk about the offensive side of Kenmore West. That defense is ferocious, and that defense doesn't give up much yards rushing. How do you just talk about, I mean, just talk about that defense and how people, you know, it's like no one talks about it. But that's, I think, as much as the offense, I think the defense is really what Kenmore West is about this year.
Yeah, definitely. I told the defense over the summer and going into the season that we honestly should have at least 9 people on the all-league, all-north, AA division all-star team because our defense is just amazing. Like, we have Charlie Milks, we have Deron Rain, we have Tyler White, we have Jalel St. John, now playing a position that I think he should have been playing last year at defensive end. Our secondary is tremendous. Our linebackers, I think we have the best linebacker group in Western New York, honestly. And it's just we've been working together for so long, and we just all know what we're going to all bring to the table. So when we put it out there against OP, we thought we would be fine, but it was a lot of, first game jitters, huge game. OP was ranked third. We were ranked fifth. I think that was the first time we've been ranked in the top five for preseason polls in a long time. And I think we weren't really nervous. We just were – we just had bad communication. First game, mistakes, and that's the one thing I think that people don't really realize about that game. But I definitely feel like if we beat Lancaster and meet OP at the Ralph, it will definitely be a different story.
Yeah, I think you're right there. A lot of people have approached me and asked me about the playoff games in high school. And, the one thing they always say about Ken West is, Ken West goes both ways every year. And I said, that's why I say about the Orchard Park game. Orchard Park's a good. I'm not taking nothing away from Orchard Park, but I told a few guys, look, that was their first game. And they were in shape, but not in the shape they're in now. And it takes about a good 3 weeks, honestly, to get in shape when you go both ways. And you've been doing that since Modified. I think this group has been playing together at least 1 year of Modified. JV, this group has been together. They came up through the ranks, middle school on up. And, it's not like a bunch of guys that are thrown in. This team, mostly, Jason Taylor, you, Tyler, Charlie, this team has played together since Modified. Does that help you down the road in a game like this coming up this Saturday?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, walking into school, we all have a lot of classes together. I'm sitting there before first period and Jameer Lynch walks in. And we're just so excited. We've been watching film on Lancaster all weekend after the game. And it's just, I feel like this team this year is very, really, really, really close. I mean, this is the closest team I've ever been a part of in my life, honestly. We've just been bonding, always hanging out during the summer, always around each other. So, and in practice, we always go hard at each other. I mean, our one-on-one drills, DBs, are probably the hardest drills I've ever gone through. But we're just all competitive, and we all want to win, and we all know what we should have did last year. But now, having such a senior-led team this year, we feel like, we don't have an excuse now, especially now Jamestown not being who they were and Niagara Falls beating them, and just the opportunity we have, and we just don't want to spoil it, and we owe it to ourselves, and we owe it to Kimmerer West.
Let's talk about the family. Talk about how much your granddad's been a part of your life as far as football. He's a football guy. I talk to him a lot. This guy just knows the game. This guy knows the game. And what impact did he put on you since playing football, and what has he taught you? How important has he been?
Man, my grandfather is probably the most important man in my life right now. He's from Anniston, Alabama, and he moved up here and had my mom and my two uncles. And I remember when I was about 5 years old, he coached at Nichols High School, and I remember I used to go to practice with them every day, just hang around him all the time, just learning and building a relationship through football. Because, I've always wanted to play football. I've always loved the contact. I've always loved watching football. And me and him just have such a great relationship, and we just always talk football. And him, even now, he knows I know what I'm doing, but, all the extra tips he gives me helped me throughout my career playing football since I was 7 years old. So me and him are very close, and I really do appreciate him in my life.
Your mother's really into your game. Your sister, the whole family's involved in football, and they support you 100%. Let's talk about, after this is all done in high school, what are your plans? And, as far as, when you get out of high school, that's when real life begins. You go to college, you kind of set yourself up for success down the road. But what are your plans after high school? And as far as college is playing at the next level, I'm sure you're going to be playing at the next level. But what are your plans besides playing football in college?
Obviously, everybody wants to play college football. Everybody wants to go to the NFL. But, it's slim chances going to the NFL, and then what if you get hurt And I've always thought like that. So I've always liked to, you know, talk to people. I've always been a very outgoing person. People always tell me I'm a good listener. And I decided I've always wanted to study psychology and eventually be a teen therapist for kids who just need somebody to listen to them, because these days it seems like the world's just going so fast and nobody's there to listen to people or take the time out instead of just pushing them to the side.
Yeah, you know, just got an email. It said Mark Taylor is the vocal leader of the Ken West football team. And, you know, someone pointed out on Facebook that, you know, you're coming off the field and some of the younger players wearing the Kenmore West jersey, you know, not acting appropriately, taking the jersey as a joke and, you know, not realizing what they had to represent. What went through your mind when you did that? Because those kids kind of got it after you put them in their place and, you know, told them to cut it out. Look what jersey you're wearing, you know. Tell me how that happened.
You know, I was just walking off the field saying hi to my grandparents and my mom and my sister like I always do. And I just see JV kids with their jerseys on that just played earlier that day messing around and, like, play fighting and stuff like that. I'm like, you can't do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've always been a leader. I've never been afraid to speak up for what I believe in. And it's just, I just don't like seeing people be baited into things by people that don't have anything going for them. So I just wanted to express to them, because I know people look up to me because I'm a varsity football player, obviously. And, you know, I carry myself a certain way, and I just don't feel like people should, especially people on the team that are a part of the Kenmore West football family, that should definitely not be partaking in anything like that. So I just had to remind them that, you know, you're a part of something bigger than just Kenmore West. We all take care of each other, and I don't want them going down a path I see so many other kids going down.
It's good stuff, good stuff. You know, in closing, big game coming up against Lancaster. Lancaster ranked ahead of Kenmore West all season long. Lancaster running up scores on teams. They do have an offense. Lancaster finally hitting the wall when they played a team that could really match them in Ultra Park. And Ultra Park, to me, beat them worse than you did in every facet. Worse than Ultra Park beat you guys in every facet of the game. Lockport goes in there, almost pulls it out. How do you see this game playing out? Do you think people are still giving West enough respect? It looks like Channel 2 is starting to come around. Ken West ranked number 4 in the Channel 2 rankings, ranked number 8 in the Buffalo News. Lancaster ranked 3 spots ahead of us. What do you think about that as a player? Back when I played in PA, I didn't like that. I took that kind of personal. I took it as you disrespected my teammates, my team, my school, and what's your feeling about going out there? You know, you don't want to go out there too amped up and just be too over-aggressive, but what's your mindset? Mindset, this is a big game. This is a win-or-go-home game, and you have a chance to go to the Ralph. What is the mindset of the team? What's the mindset of the coaching staff? What's the feeling in that locker room right now?
We're definitely very excited, and we're very ready and prepared for this game. As far as the rankings go, I mean, having – just set alone having Star Point ahead of us, who is an A school, I never thought that was okay because, I mean, look at who we played, like who they played. Like, we played Sweet Home, and we won 55-7, and then they only beat Sweet Home, I don't think, maybe 28 points or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just the comparison, and I don't know if it's just personally towards Kenmore West or our players, but I never really liked it. And especially this year, just seeing the disrespect that we were getting, we're out of the top 10, beating a team by 3 or 4 touchdowns, and then we get back in, and then we're knocked back out, and we put up 62 points on Kenmore East. So you can't really change their mind. You just got to prove it to them. And I think everybody's very prepared for Lancaster. I mean, we've been waiting for this game. We didn't think it would be Lancaster in this spot. We were thinking it would be Jamestown. But we're definitely prepared, and we're definitely ready to go out and show people that the North isn't just a stepping stool for the South to just have their little battles at the Ralph. We're definitely here, and we're definitely ready to come out and play and show everybody what Kenmore West is about and show the athletes that we have.
Let you go, Mark. Good stuff here. You're a good player. You're a good player. Probably, you know, you're a good player, better person. But I've been saying this for maybe 3 weeks. I think the season's crazy. You got Niagara Falls semifinals. Now, most people didn't see Niagara Falls in there, and I've been saying this all along. I said Niagara Falls and Ken West, when Niagara Falls is disciplined enough, when they play their game, either one of us can go to the South and beat Orchard Park on any given day. And I think it's playing out that way, and I think the Orchard Park game is very dangerous. How do you see that game against Niagara Falls? The big question with Niagara Falls is discipline. Which team's going to show up? They definitely have the athletes to do it. How do you see that game?
I'm definitely going to be out there at that game. I definitely want to see that. But Niagara Falls is always the tough, I feel like the toughest game, just because they match our athletes. I mean, they're fast, they're physical, and when they are on the same page and they're not making penalties for themselves, they are a very scary team and a very athletic team. We know them. We talk about our game coming up during track season and all that stuff. So I definitely feel like if Niagara Falls can play a solid game, I think they can beat Orchard Park.
Yeah, and, you know, I tell you right now, Section 6 wouldn't like that too much, two North teams, playing for the title. But, Mark, good stuff. Good luck in the game coming up. We'll have you on again after the season. I don't know if you're going to play basketball this year, but I know it's a lot of Kenmore West players who are going to college are really serious about, you know, this season and serious about continuing their football career. I'm going to tell you something that I think happened to you, and I think the best thing that happened to you is when I took you to Ohio. Because I think when you went to Ohio, you seen what else was out there and knew what you had to do. I said the same thing to D'Angelo and a few other kids who went with us. When you go outside of your area and see what else is out there, you know what you got to do. I'm not saying that's what did it, but I think it helped you in your preparation and it helped you improve. Did it have some? I mean, wasn't that a good trip that we took you guys on to where you seen other kids who are going D1, kids who are on the same level as you, kids who were just coming up. And you guys played stride for stride with those guys.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. That was probably one of the most amazing things I've ever done because I just love football. And then just traveling and going to play and meeting other people and then just seeing, like you said, Division I players going to Miami, Ohio State, just right there next playing across from you or walking on the other side of the field. It's very intimidating, but at the same time, once I started to get it and started playing, I noticed that there wasn't much of a gap. And
nope.
I felt like if I get to the point that I need to put myself at, I can play with anybody on the field. And just because I'm a competitor and I don't like to lose anything.
All right, Mark, good stuff. Good luck in that game against Lancaster. We're going to be watching you. And, you know, you're a threat. You know, people didn't know. And I think you may be the reason that Ken West pulls this out. I think, I talked to the coaches there and, you know, they didn't expect you. We've seen you all year doing things, but they didn't expect you to put up 176 on a very athletic, very fast Hutch Tech team. And you know what? Look, give Hutch Tech credit. This was not an easy game for Ken West. I told a lot of people after the Ultra Park game, you guys didn't really have a challenge. You guys kind of rolled through the season. You're 7-1 right now. I think the Hutch Tech game is something you guys really needed because it didn't go your way early.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I feel like our team sometimes gets ahead of ourselves and we think we look past people, but they definitely came out to play, and which I knew they would. I mean, it's the playoffs. Nobody wants to go home. Nobody's going to lay down for you just because you're the number one seed or in the North or the South. So we definitely had our hands tied in the beginning, but at halftime we were like, okay, this is when we have to put them away because I think that was probably the best football Hutch Tech has played all season. But we all came out with the mentality of being a champion and playing like champions do. Good teams put people away, and that's what we've been striving to do all year.
All right, Mark. Good stuff, man. And we'll talk to you later after the game, before the game. No matter what happens, we're going to talk to you again. Like to hear what you're going to do in the future. But good kid, man. Keep up the good work. Keep up the good work in the church, in the community, classroom, and we'll be hearing good things from you. But we're going to have you back on sometime end of this year and, just see what you're doing, you know, because you're one of the good kids out here in West New York that, I feel don't get enough attention. I feel a lot of the kids who aren't good on the field, only off the field, you're that guy who's good on both. And as far as a good person, I think your mom and granddad and your parents did a good job. And, well, we will be looking for you again. Good luck in this game. Do not get too over don't think about it too much. It's another football game. This has a lot more pressure, but I think you'll be fine. I think you guys be okay. Good luck, and thanks for coming on.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mark Taylor, Kenmore West, New York, cornerback, running back. If you ever want to see a kid that had to actually, and I mean this 100%, a kid that had to really wait his time, overlooked some time because stars on the team, and he was a star too, but he just wasn't as bright as a star as the stars, and so he goes and works hard. He never gave up, just worked and worked and worked. Here to find out the kid was a star already, just never got the shot. He's getting this chance. Now he's the vocal leader of this team. He's leading by example, and he's a definite threat for Kenmore West. It's going to be a very good football game. I don't want to see either team lose. It's going to be a good game, but this is playoff football and a lot's at stake, and I think Mark Taylor's going to be a huge part of this game with Ford, Walker, White, Taylor, Racka, St. John. You got a lot of players who are going to play a role. Charlie Milks, Xavier. You got a lot of good players on this Ken West team and some decent players on Lancaster, and they're going to go at it. It's a big game. Look, it's so big. Both games are big. I feel like I can suit up for either team. I can suit up for West, Lancaster, I don't know, Niagara Falls, Orchard Park. I want to play. I'm a football guy, and my blood's boiling, and I'm ready to go. I feel like I got a game coming up this Saturday or this Friday night. That's how I feel. I don't know about you guys, but I feel that way. But look, we're going to call it a day. We'd like to thank the kid, Brandon Freeman, my co-host, for coming on, talking some Bills. I'd like to thank the emails, good or bad. Thank you guys for emailing me. I'd like to thank Mark Taylor for coming on. A lot of the guys, you did try to call in. I did not answer your call because it wasn't that kind of show today. But look, we're going to be back on this week. I'd like to thank Coca-Cola, Schneider Pretzels of Pennsylvania. Thank you guys for being sponsors and keeping me going. Look, guys, we'll catch you later. If you did miss the show, I'm going to post it on Facebook. If you want to hear more of Mark's interview, I'm going to post it on Facebook, the Trenton White Sports Radio page. And then you guys could listen to it. Good interview. You might want to check it out. If you're a student athlete or you're a young football player, track runner, basketball player, whatever, this is what you want to be like when you're a senior. So if you're a little kid who plays Pop Warner, if you're a kid who's in middle school, this is what you should end up being like when you're a senior. Mark Taylor, he's a very good example of what you need to be as a student athlete. And this kid's going to have a bright future. But look, I'm going to call tonight. Got to take care of some things as far as helping kids. So I will see you guys later. Any emails, you can email me at trenton.white@verizon.net. Hit me up on Facebook on the Trenton White Sports page, and we'll talk to you guys later. Oh, by the way, follow me on Twitter, TWMedia44. Thank you guys for listening. We have NBA Talk this week with the kid. We'll catch you guys later. Take care.